to the sunrise service with her. And when I was 4 or 5 years old, my stomach did not do well at 4 and 5 in the morning. And I spent the whole Easter feeling nauseous. So that's my memory of Easter from the early days. But my Easter memories have changed dramatically. Dramatically. I woke up this morning, just the simple thing of going out and throwing the frisbee for my dog, the rain in the air, I just felt a heavy presence of the risen Savior. Just there so strong, as the saying goes, you could cut it with a knife. And he's here. He's here in this place. And we just want you, if you can right now, to kind of flip a mental switch. And I want you to forget all about who you are, what your responsibilities are. Forget about it all, okay? You could even just forget you're at Calvary Gospel Church in Madison, Wisconsin, and just forget about that. Because we want you to join us on a different kind of a journey. And before we get going here, I just have to thank everyone. Man, you know, the longer I'm around Calvary Gospel Church, the more I fall in love with everybody at Calvary Gospel Church. You know, the people around here, let me tell you this. If you are kind of shopping around for a church, looking for a place to go, you found it. Because the people in this church, we are family. I mean, we really are family. And I could tell you stories for hours about my church family and how much they actually do honestly love me. And they will love you too. There's kind of a little plug there. But I want to thank Tim Powell, who is just, as always, Mr. Amazing, Mr. Creativity, all the props, all the everything. I was kind of stuck with this drama, and I said, Tim, come on over to my house, please. We need a brainstorming session. And he came over there, and we two ADD guys were chasing rabbits and squirrels all over the place. And finally, we arrived with this. And then all the other people that are just so amazing, talented, anointed, from the guys back in the sound booth to the spotlight to everything. We just want you, again, just forget everything but this. Just open yourself. Can you do that? Just open yourself. And allow this to talk to you. All right? Thank you very much.
I will be your guide today on a journey that every human being who draws breath is destined to make. There comes a moment in each of our lives when we face a crucial decision. That fork in the road where we must determine the correct path. Do we go to the right or to the left? Where will that long, winding road we have chosen ultimately take us? If there ever was a life or death decision, this is it. All of us will one day make that critical choice at a place we call the resurrection zone.
Jesus, I've been looking for you. I've just felt so compelled to come and thank you today. My Lord, when you found me, I was broken. I was possessed with 7 devils. But my Lord, you delivered me. You set me free. I am just so very thankful. My Lord, I am just so thankful. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you. Thank you, my Lord.
Lord, this is a terrible waste of resources. This is expensive ointment she's using on your feet. We could have sold it or even given it to the poor.
Judas, you will always have the poor among you. She's done this to prepare me for my journey. What she has done will never be forgotten. It will be honored all over the world. It's a good thing, Judas. It's a good thing indeed. Judas,
the human psyche is a very complex mixture of genetic predisposition and life experience. Judas, who had been wealthy before meeting the Lord, never left his first love of money and things. He stood in the presence of the very creator of the universe, oblivious to the magnitude of the opportunity and privilege extended to him, and ultimately walked away from the only hope he ever had. His internal demons continued to have dominion over his life, rendering him clueless as to what may have been. Mary Magdalene, on the other hand, had lived the first part of her life in sin and debauchery. She had been filled with 7 demons until the Lord of Glory walked into her life and expelled those unclean spirits from her for good. The things she formerly held in esteem were exposed as so much excrement. Mary never forgot what the Lord had done for her, and she would carry her devotion into eternity.
All right, class. This concludes for our studies today. You may be dismissed. Lord, I wanted to speak with you myself. I have heard so much about your miracles. I realize that no ordinary human can do the things that you do. I just need to find out for myself who you are and exactly what is going on here.
Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
What? What do you mean? Born again? How can I once again enter into my mother's womb and be born again? That's impossible.
Nicodemus, I don't want this to be confusing to you. Let me explain. You see, unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into my kingdom. Yet you came here tonight under the cover of darkness so that no one would see you. There will come a time when you will walk in light.
Lord, I truly do not understand.
You are a highly educated teacher in Israel, yet you don't understand. Trust me, Nicodemus. Believe in me. I did not come here to condemn you, but so that you would be saved.
Each of us come from different backgrounds. We each have been taught different things and drawn different conclusions. As the old saying goes, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So when we are faced with a whole new set of circumstances and face an entire paradigm, it can be very difficult to process. The older we get, the more inflexible we become. The more rigid our dogmas become set. And the less open we are to new ideas. If we were to come face to face with truth that contradicts our current beliefs, as Nicodemus did, how would we respond? We can only know for sure when we have entered the resurrection zone. Nothing quite as distasteful as an ungrateful child would we generously spend good money on a thoughtful gift only
this is a live recording. There is nothing quite as distasteful as an ungrateful child when we generously spend good money on a thoughtful gift only to have the gift discarded or unappreciated. It makes us think twice the next time we consider a purchase. But to see a child's eyes light up as they peer into the gift box and then run and embrace us with their chubby little arms and tearfully say, "Thank you, Daddy. That's priceless." Regardless of the amount we spent on the gift, the payback was more than worth the purchase price. Our Heavenly Father is no different. He highly esteems those who offer thanksgiving to Him. Nearly 2,000 years ago, there were 10 hopeless men. These 10 men had been banished from society because of their highly contagious, incurable disease called leprosy. One day they came into contact with a man from Galilee who simply instructed them to go and show themselves to the priest and be inspected for their disease, as was the custom in those times under the Mosaic law. 10 men turned as told, and while en route, were cured of their incurable disease. 10 men gasped in astonishment as the gaping, putrid sores that covered their bodies vanished, and pink, healthy, glowing skin appeared in its place. 10 hopeless men were suddenly infused with hope once again. 10 men would once again be reunited with their families. But only one man retraced his steps to express his appreciation.
Jesus! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for having mercy on me. For now, I can be reunited with my wife and children, who I have not seen but from a distance for over 3 years. I have no idea how you did what you did, but I cannot go another step without returning to express my thanks. I was as good as dead, but you've given me my life once again.
Rise, my son. I seem to remember 10 men I offered healing to. Are you here alone?
I don't know where the other 9 have gone.
I've received your thanks, and in turn extend to you not only your healing, but anything that this disease has taken from you shall be fully restored. Now go and be made completely whole.
I have no idea how to even begin to thank you for what you've done for me. I can never repay you. I owe you my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave just to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express
express my gratitude. All that I am, ever hope to be, Lord, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done, for with His blood saved me, and with His power, by His power He's raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Oh, for the victories He's won. Oh, yes, to God be the glory. Ooh, yeah. To God be all the glory. Yes, to God be the glory. For the things He has done.
We could continue for days to recount all those who were healed, delivered, set free from demons, raised from the dead, and otherwise blessed by the ministry of Jesus. In fact, John writes in his book, and I quote, "And there are many other things which Jesus did, which, if they were recorded one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. Jesus went everywhere doing good, changing lives for the better, empowering and blessing people. He instilled hope in the hearts of thousands. He taught like no one ever had before or since, sharing His omniscient wisdom with the masses. A worthy reward for His deeds may have been a Nobel Peace Prize. Possibly, they should have given Him the keys to the city, or throw Him a parade, followed by a joyous party in the streets. But no. The reception that Jesus Christ received was vastly different. Thank you. we have been witness today to the greatest inequity, the worst injustice imaginable. Love was rewarded with hate. The Prince of Peace was stormed by an angry, murderous mob to be tortured, tormented, ridiculed, and killed. The Good Shepherd was turned upon by the very sheep he was trying to protect and provide for. Rather than retaliating or even becoming angry at his treatment, Jesus gave a surprising response. Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. We have present with us today a gallery of individuals. I guess you could call it a gallery of rogues. At one time, they were very sought after by the local authorities. We have present drug dealers, thieves, con men, thugs, liars. In general, an unsavory group of people. But what do they have in common? They have all undergone a metamorphosis. Their lives were changed forever at a place we're calling the Resurrection Zone.
So there I was, on my 40th birthday, sitting in the Dane County Jail, facing a 10-year state and imposed sentence with a 15-year sentence following on a new charge. My criminal background went back to the time that I was 13 years old when I stole a car and went joyriding. At the end of that joyride, I had a new charge, involuntary manslaughter. A man died. I have been a disappointment to myself, to my family, to my friends. I've been a liar, a cheat, a thief, a womanizer, an alcoholic, a drug addict, and I've been self-serving. But when I came to this church, my life changed. After getting out of prison for serving that first sentence, I came back into this church. I was refilled with the Holy Ghost and entered into the Resurrection Zone.
So there I was, a 22-year-old Marine, standing in a military courtroom in Vietnam. I was awaiting my sentencing. I had killed a Vietnamese man while driving drunk with a stolen Jeep. I was sentenced to the brig in Da Nang, Vietnam. My life was out of control. My sin did not stop then. It went on for years. I lost my home, I lost my family, I lost my business. And then when I came back to Madison, I lost my health. I spent 13 days in a Madison hospital. Very frightening when you don't know God. The fear of death gripped my heart. I didn't know what to do. God sent Pastor John W. Grant up to pray with me. He prayed with me, laid hands on me, and God healed me. I came to Calvary Gospel Church wanting to just thank him for coming for the visit. But my God had another purpose. I ran to the altar. I began to weep and cry for the years of sin and corruption that was inside of me. I repented, and God miraculously filled me with his Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then I was baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ for every sin I'd ever committed from the day I was old enough to be accountable. And then I entered into the Resurrection Zone.
So there I was, laying on my couch, shaking from alcohol withdrawals, hopeless, depressed, not knowing what to do next. Brokenhearted, mentally, physically, and financially. And now, you see, the thing is, I grew up in the church. I knew the truth, but I turned my back on God. I got involved in gangs, drugs. I've shot people. I've been shot myself. I was being investigated for 2 drive-by shootings and bank robberies. And I thought God wanted nothing to do with me. I've done too much wrong. But the little bit of faith that I had left, I said, God, do you care? Is there hope for me? And he spoke to me. And he said, call unto me. Come to me. And I came to his house. And I couldn't even look up, expecting him to be like, just get in the corner over there. But to my surprise, God, who is rich in mercy, he loved on me. He poured his spirit on me. He embraced me. He didn't hold a grudge. I found them again. He wiped my slate clean here at the resurrection zone. Hallelujah. Praise God.
So there I was in my car, crying, banging on the steering wheel, screaming at God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? My whole life, my issue was love. My definition of love hurt. It was controlling, obsessive. It lied and cheated and stole whatever it could from me. This love said that I was not good enough, and this is what I deserved. This love crushed me in every way. I was tortured by it. I was abused by it. I was even kidnapped by it. It even abandoned me as a little girl. This love finally got me to a place where self-worth could not be measured because it didn't exist. But then a voice, he began to call my name. See, I was just a little girl. And I just wanted to be loved the way a father loved his daughter. And I remembered that voice. I remembered that voice from my childhood when my mom took me to church. I remembered the warmth that I felt when he spoke to me. I knew where that voice was at. And I knew he was waiting for me. And I went to find him. And when I got there, he said, when you learn of my love, then you will recognize love. I found myself at the resurrection zone.
So there I was, lying in a hospital bed, thinking to myself, this dream isn't cool. I'm going to go back to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to have a different dream. And I woke up and I was in the same place, the same dream. And I started to panic. My jaw was wired shut. That's what happens when a .40 caliber bullet goes from one end to the other. And then I started to remember the night before, while intoxicated on alcohol, weed, and ecstasy. And I started to remember I almost shot my friend in the stomach before I accidentally shot myself in the face. And that's what this world and the evils in it will do to you. But I didn't learn then. And 4 years later, when it all finally caught up to me, and I had nowhere else to go. And I was facing a 5 to 10 year prison sentence, and my daughter was almost 2 years old. And I said my first sincere prayer, and I said, God, if there's a God, this is it. If you're real, I got nothing left. So I give you my life. If you get me out of this, if you get me out of this, I give you my life. And within 20 minutes, he moved on the judge, and the judge said, I shouldn't be doing this, but you only got to serve 6 months. And immediately, I was delivered from alcohol. I was delivered from drug addiction. I was delivered from every other sinful act. And I knew there was a God. And from that point on, he started showing me things. And later, he showed himself to me. You don't have to go to this extreme to find God. But he showed me there is a God. And that God has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. And this is what I found in the resurrection zone.
We all harbor in our hearts things that no one else can see. We build walls of protection around that which we value the most. Jesus Christ stated that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is the value of your personal treasure? How will it serve you when you eventually face your mortality and prepare to breathe your last breath? There will come a day when we each will come face to face with the Almighty Creator of all that exists. When that meeting occurs, all pretenses will be stripped away from us. Every facade will be dismantled and discarded. We will find ourselves denied every hiding place, every possible avenue of retreat, naked and exposed before the one to whom we must make account. He will weigh in the balances the things that we assigned value to. He will hold them up to his light, to reveal their true value. It says in the scripture, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But it also says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. The God of grace and mercy, who has offered mankind unlimited opportunity to amend their wrong, he gives them the chance, the choice, to change their direction, offering total absolution of all their nefarious deeds. And he will one day be bound by his word to execute judgment on those who have ignored his personal pleas. These who have testified to you, who are lining up across the front of this auditorium, they stand before you having already made their choice. They have amended a tragic life filled with regret and shame. They have stepped out of a dirty, dark alley onto a bright and shining pathway leading to eternal peace and joy. They are here today to be your guide to a changed life. They wish to escort you to a place where you can receive a do-over, a second chance. They wish to introduce you to a God who stands willing to take all of your guilt and remove it for all of eternity. You have a golden opportunity right now to finally receive relief from your past and enter into a new life, to be clean and free at a place called the Resurrection Zone. Pastor Roy Grant.
Well, I'm not Pastor Roy. But as we conclude this, we have laid the groundwork here for a life-changing experience. There's not a whole lot more I can say except to say this. Some of you may be thinking, well, I've never shot anybody. I've never been shot. I've never been a drug addict. I've never been a this or been a that. Like me, I've never even been drunk in my lifetime. Never smoked, never did any of that stuff. But I was a miserable cuss. My life was changed forever at the Resurrection Zone. If we had the time, we could go down person by person, by person, by person, by person. And you would hear stories that would make you weep, that would make you shout. And we can all say it's a happy spring day. Let's go home and give the kids our Easter baskets and eat some ham. But aren't you getting just a little bit tired of doing that year after year after year? Just doing your cursory appearance. And your life remains unchanged for the rest of the year. Well, that's a miserable existence. And this morning, hey, we're all just people. We're all weak as water. We're all dumber than a rock when it gets right down to it. We don't have the answers. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. Life has eaten our lunch. You have the chance right now to enter the Resurrection Zone. So if you feel that you need something in your life, whatever it is, if you need healing in your body, if you just want somebody who's been there, done that, to minister to you, please just come on up. I know this is that awkward moment. Oh no, here we go again. But if you would just come on up here, and we're just going to pray. We're going to talk to the Almighty God. We're going to talk to the Creator of the universe. We're going to talk to the one in reality who took that cross and suffered all of that punishment. He's here. He's here. Don't waste this. Don't waste this chance. Swallow your pride. Throw away your tradition. And let's talk to the Almighty God. Jesus, 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 we come to you. We've prayed about this, and we've laid awake at night about this. We've read books. We've consulted psychologists. We've been prescribed medications. We've talked to our friends, but it's no better. The pain is still there. The sleepless nights are still there. The guilt is still there. I've come to realize, God, that you, like they've been telling me all along, you really are my only hope.